In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, welcome to worship this summer day. We're glad that you're here with us, and we pray that you will meet God as we worship together in this hour together. We welcome those who might be visiting with us for the first time. We hope that you are warmly welcomed by those seated around you. We know that summer is a time when people come and go in a lot of different ways, and family has a chance to visit, so we're glad that you're here with us this morning. Please take time to sign the welcome pads that you'll find at the inside aisle and pass them down the pew with any information you'd like to share with us about how to keep in touch with you. And join us for a time of fellowship in the Hope Room immediately behind the sanctuary after the worship service this morning. Our General Assembly in the Presbyterian Church has just finished meeting, and there's a summary of some of the actions, some of them rather significant, that have been taken in this week as an insert in your bulletin this morning. There's also a posted letter by the leadership of the Presbyterian Church on the PPC News Bulletin Board in the side of the Hope Room, if you want to take a look at some of the ways in which they're interpreting some of those actions. We were on the front page of the New York Times twice this week, so there were many, many things to be talked about. We are at the bottom of our welcome loaves pile of supply, so if you are called to bake welcome loaves, we would love to have you make small welcome loaves that we can share with visitors when we meet with them on Sunday mornings. Please take note of the calendar announcements as they are before you, so that you may make note of some of the changes and the shifts that happen in the summertime. We are continuing with Bible study at 9 o'clock on Sunday mornings, and encourage you to take this opportunity when there's a little less programming to participate in that. Are there other announcements this morning? Yes, Gina.
Happy summer. So with summer come our barbecues on the front lawn of the church on Tuesday nights. For those of you who don't know, the church hosts a barbecue for anyone and everyone. It is just a wonderful time of fellowship every Tuesday night starting July 8th. So not next Tuesday or the following, but July 8th. After the 4th, we're going to start starting from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. We ask people who come if you would mind bringing a side dish or a dessert to share, or a small donation is also appreciated to help offset costs of burgers and dogs. And also, if anyone is interested in helping to co-host, those duties include being the grill master for the night, bringing in some of the lettuce and tomato, that kind of thing, and helping set up for the barbecue. Very easy to do, especially if you partner up with someone else. We'd love co-hosts. There is a sign-up sheet in the Hope Room. If you have any questions, please see myself or Sally Lockhart, and we can walk you through it. But please think about it and help us out for the summer, and we hope to see many of you there on the front lawn on Tuesday nights. Thanks.
I just want to mention that the Presbyterian Church USA voted to divest of companies who do business with the Israelis, the companies whose products are used to oppress Palestinians. And I'm sure that's worthy of being in the prayer concerns this morning, and also for your knowledge. And the purpose in doing this is because of the way the Palestinians are being treated for generations. So just a note to say thank you to them.
One of the actions of the General Assembly here.
So the 20s and 30s events for the summer are starting again. We're actually starting with a potluck at Jim and Sally's house. They've been kind enough to invite us over. And so it's just going to be an evening of fellowship and fireworks. So we would love to have people join us. It's a great time to get to know everyone in the church. I know we have a lot of new members that are here of our age group. So we'd love to have you join us. It's going to be Thursday, July 3rd at 6:30. We did send an e-vite out, but if you didn't get it and would like to, just let me know and I can add you. And children are welcome. There isn't going to be childcare, but there's like a small room where children can spend. And Sally will be there. So lots of people to play with them. So thank you so much.
For the 20s and 30s. Okay, Sean.
As some of you know, I've been running the Wednesday morning prayer breakfast where I've been serving French toast and pancakes for the past 18 months or 2 years or so. And as our upcoming move to Virginia is going to negate that process, the last prayer breakfast will be July 9th. I am looking for somebody to take over the duties. I am willing to train. I essentially do everything from a box, so it's not hard. Okay, I don't do anything. And as of right now, through the generosity of Chris, it's a paid position, but I'm looking to shift. At some point, I'd like the congregation to bring up to make that a paid position from the church budget. Thank you.
Prayer breakfast will continue. We might be having cereal instead of, but we will continue praying on Wednesday mornings. But if anyone is feeling called to cook, we would love to have your presence with us.
Hi, I'm calling on you if you can participate in the art committee in one of two ways. If you want to directly participate, we're having a meeting this Thursday at 8 o'clock at Starbucks on Angel Street. and we will be planning basically for the later in the summer or the fall. We have the beginnings of an idea. And if you are just wanting to help us, and you happen to have a digital picture frame that you would be willing to lend to us for that period when the display will be up, the next display, which will, like I said, be probably in the early fall. Anybody with any digital picture frames that they're willing to lend to us, you can see Keith Cooper or myself, Alice, Judy, Black and R. Anybody is welcome.
Right. Any other announcements this morning? Let us prepare then to worship God as we share in some music. Please join with me in the responsive call to worship. Let us worship the eternal God, the source of love and life who creates us. Let us worship Jesus Christ, the risen one, who lives among us. Let us worship the Spirit, the holy fire who renews us. To the one true God be praise in all times and places through the grace of Jesus Christ. Our God is the one who calls us to abound in hope, in the sure and present gift of forgiveness in our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us come in prayer, in honesty, in humility, confessing our sins before God, first in silence, then praying together. Praying together. Lord, we confess that we bicker, fight, and feud. We sometimes treat others as though we are better than they. We fight to make sure that we get everything that we believe is our right, and that they get nothing more than is their right. We act as if there is not enough of everything to go around. Forgive us. Teach us how to get along so we do not doom ourselves to fighting, and how to be thankful for all that you give us. Amen. Let us continue in a spirit of confession as we sing together, remaining seated, our song of confession, verse 2 of God of Compassion, in mercy befriend us. Christ's love for us is more abundant than anything we could ask or desire, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. God came to earth to reconcile the world. Believe this good news. In Christ, we are forgiven. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Is this working? There we go. Is now the time during which we share our joys and concerns together. Is there anyone who has anything to share?
I'm going to try to get through this without crying. Sam, do you want to go first?
Yesterday, it was my birthday.
So we had the great joy of celebrating Sam's third birthday this week, which was so much fun, especially because Dan's mother, Lulu Vaca, was with us for the week. And then his father, Dan Vaca, and my mother, Lucy, came up for the weekend to also celebrate. So we've been blessed with so much family love this week. And to top it all off, my mom finally closed on her house in Virginia. So she is with us for good. So please welcome her to Providence today. And just thank you all for your prayers and your support in our nearly first year here in Rhode Island. Thanks.
Yes, I have a couple of joys. My granddaughter, Mia, was born this Tuesday, and her and the mom are doing great. And also, I start a new job this week, and it's only a temporary position right now, but hopefully if the young man I'm working for gets elected, it'll become a more permanent position. So, thanks.
Prayers for my my stepmother, Carol, Carol Marburger, who was hospitalized this week for dehydration. She returned home Friday night, so she's doing much better. And I also got word this morning that my grandfather, who's 97 and in otherwise very good health, went into the hospital last night with some GI issues. The doctors describe him as a medical anomaly because he's so healthy, so hopefully he will bounce back again from this, but just need your prayers that the GI issues he's experiencing are nothing serious and can be addressed. So that's Leroy Marburger.
I'd like to ask for prayers for everyone who's having surgery in the coming week, and for their surgeons and the scrub nurses, and mostly the ones that are sort of invisible, but they're the ones that keep the floors clean, who help keep people from getting hospital infections. Thank you.
I'd like to ask for prayers for my sister Kathy, who lost her job suddenly this past week. So it was very unexpected, and so now she's just trying to figure out what to do next.
We're happy to be back after a week away, so we're joyous about that. And then just traveling mercies for the Fisher family so that they make it to and back from Chicago.
Love prayers for our kids. Dylan, our youngest, went to Young Life Camp this morning, and she'll be there for a week, and so would love for your prayers for her growth and her faith during that time. And would love your prayers for our oldest, Jamie. She's been in Buenos Aires for the last month for study abroad, and she comes back in a week, and would love prayers for her safe travel and her last week there. And for Julia, she leaves in a week to do a month of volunteer work crew at a Young Life camp, and just would love prayers for her as she spends that time there. Thanks.
Continuous prayers for Juliet as she goes through therapy after her stroke.
Nancy and I have both a joy and a concern. The joy is that 56 years ago today, we were married in Cynthiana, Indiana. The concern is that our relationship, which is an ever-growing thing, a work in progress, will continue.
I have a concern. I'd like continued prayers for my brother Jim, who had just a little setback, but is in the hospital with still battling his cancer. But he's such a positive guy that I'm sure this is not going to set him back too far. Thank you.
Your prayers as I travel again to the West Coast and for my family as they endure me traveling again to the West Coast, and prayers for my father and some medical uncertainties that are before him and in these next steps. Let us pray. God of wonder, grace, hope, and peace, we give thanks that you are our God, sovereign of all the world, and we pray for your peace and justice throughout our world. Through many and varied complicated issues, may your light and love break through divisions and despair, pain and war, particularly with your people in the Middle East in these days, in Iraq, in Israel, in Syria. We pray, O Lord, that forever we and all your people would be centered in your will for life, for this world you have created, and live into the fullness of that reality. We pray this day your healing hand upon those who have been mentioned in our time in prayer here, and Judy Babcock's nephew, Bob, in testing this week, for Carol, for Leroy, for Juliet, for Jim. We pray for those who are enduring medical issues and particularly for those who face surgery in this week. We give thanks for the wisdom and skill of doctors and nurses and caregivers and cleaners and all who make hospital stays a healing place. We continue to seek healing for those with long-term medical issues, for Walter, for Melinda, for my father and mother. We give thanks, O God, for the rhythms of summer which draw us together in new ways, for families visiting and celebrations and joy, for opportunities to be away and to gain perspective in vacation, for new rhythms and opportunities. We lift our prayers this day as students are finishing their school sessions for constructive opportunities for youth and give thanks for the many directions that you are sending the Cooper girls in these days and pray for your hand upon them as they grow in faith. We thank you for the new job for Deneen and the opportunities there, for traveling mercies for the Fisher family as they move into a new adventure. We thank you, O God, for the gift of new life, for the healthy birth of Mia this week. We pray for all who are expecting and blending new family together in new constellations. We thank you for Sam's celebration yesterday with both grandparents, and for Lucy's safe arrival here to join that family as they prepare. We thank you, O God, for the anniversary this day of Nancy and Glenn, and pray your blessing upon the continued journey and adventures ahead for them. We pray, O Lord, in the midst of all these times, for those things that are known and unknown to us, but not unknown to you. We pray, O Lord, for those who are experiencing turmoil and unexpected transition, for Kathy in this job loss. We pray, O God, for the work of our larger church as we seek pastoral leadership here, as people come and discern how God is calling them to serve. We pray for the completed work of the General Assembly that it might fulfill your will and way for ways of justice and peace for all your people. Strengthen the bonds which tie us together in you alone and guide us ever in paths of truth and light. for you are the God of all life and grace. You guide your people ever into your ways through the power of the one who walked this earth, who lived this life, and who teaches us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
It's time for the children. Good morning, everybody. I'm going to tell you about a boy named Billy. Not necessarily a Billy you know, but a Billy, nevertheless, is his name. Now, every night, Billy had a real special routine. Every single night, he put away all of his toys before he went to bed. He took his bath, put on his pajamas, and then his mom or dad would read him two books every night that he chose. Do any of you do the same kinds of things?
I read two books.
You do, okay. And then after he read the books, then he would say his prayers. Do you? And so after he said his prayers, then it would be time to hug his dad or mom goodnight and say, I love you, and off they would go. But every single night he would say, make sure you leave a light on, because he was scared of the dark. So every night he did this. But then one night his dad said, you're getting to be a really big boy now. I think it's time we turn off the light every night. But I'm going to give you this flashlight. So every time you feel scared, you can pull this flashlight from the table beside your bed and shine it around your room, and it'll remind you that you're not alone, that your mom and I are right in the next room, and that God is always, always with you too. And Billy looked at his dad and said, oh, that flashlight, are you sure I have to do this? And his dad said, well, you are a big boy now, you know. And sometimes your cousin or your friends might come over to spend the night and they won't be able to sleep with the light on. So we need to try to sleep without the light on anymore. But you remember, you can have this flashlight by your bed, and every time you get a little nervous, you can pull out your light and turn it on. And Billy looked at his dad and he says, but what if it falls off the table next to the bed and I won't be able to find it? Can I put it right here in bed with me? And so his dad said, sure, take the flashlight and put it right here in bed next to you, and then you'll have it whenever you need it. So that night, Billy took the flashlight and he had it in his hand in bed with him. And before he ever went to sleep, he had to turn his light on a couple times at least, shine it around his room and make sure everything was just like it was supposed to be, you know, before he went to sleep. Then he woke up a couple of times during the night and it was awful dark in there. But he turned on his light and he flashed it around. And each time he turned on his light and he flashed it around, he remembered his mommy and daddy were right next door and that God was with him too. And he was not afraid anymore. So the next night, before he went to sleep, he had to turn on his light. But he only did it before he fell asleep two times. And that night, he didn't wake up at all. And so he didn't have to turn on his flashlight. And the next night and the next night, he would turn on his light before he went to sleep. But you know what? Every time he turned on his light like that, he remembered, I'm not alone. My mommy and daddy are right next door to me. And God is always with me too. There's always somebody with me. And pretty soon, Billy never had to turn on that flashlight anymore because he remembered he was never alone, that mommy and daddy were right next door, do you? And God was always with him. But sometimes it is nice to have a nightlight, but we're never, never alone. And that flashlight just helped Billy remember that he's never, never alone. Yeah, you do. Yes, the flashlight is almost like a nightlight. But every time you have your nightlight or you have a flashlight or anything like that, you can remember. You know, every time you have a light, it's like saying, I'm not alone. God is with me always. Okay? Yeah. Now, lights are nice. They're reassuring, but that's also a reminder of God is there, too. Right. This one I have to turn. Yeah. Let us pray. Thank you, God. You are always, always with us. Help us not to forget that and to remember we don't have to ever be afraid, even of the dark, because you're always, always there. Thank you, God. Amen.
Let us pray. God, open our hearts to your word, that as we hear your word in scripture to us this day, that it might be a light to our feet and a lamp unto our path. In Jesus we pray. Amen. Our Old Testament scripture this morning is Genesis chapter 21, verses 8 through 21. Listen that you might hear God's word to you this day. The child grew and was weaned, and Abraham made a great feast on the day that Isaac was weaned. But Sarah saw the son of Hagar, the Egyptian, whom she had borne to Abraham, playing with her son Isaac. So she said to Abraham, "Cast out this slave woman with her son, for the son of this slave woman shall not inherit along with my son Isaac." The matter was very distressing to Abraham on account of his son. But God said to Abraham, "Do not be distressed because of the boy and because of your slave woman. Whatever Sarah says to you, do as she tells you, for it is through Isaac that offspring shall be named for you. As for the son of the slave woman, I will make a nation of him also, because he is your offspring." So Abraham rose early in the morning and took bread and skin of water and gave it to Hagar, putting it on her shoulder along with the child, and sent her away. And she departed and wandered about in the wilderness of Beersheba. When the water in the skin was gone, she cast the child under one of the bushes. Then she went and sat down opposite him a good way off, about the distance of a bow shot, for she said, "Do not let me look on the death of the child." And as she sat opposite him, she lifted up her voice and wept. And God heard the voice of the boy, and the angel of God called to Hagar from heaven and said to her, "What troubles you, Hagar? Do not be afraid. For God has heard the voice of the boy where he is. Come, lift up the boy and hold him fast with your hand, for I will make a great nation of him." Then God opened her eyes, and she saw a well of water. She went and filled the skin with water and gave the boy a drink. God was with the boy, and he grew up. He lived in the wilderness and became an expert with the bow. He lived in the wilderness of Paran, and his mother got a wife for him from the land of Egypt. Our New Testament scripture is from Matthew's Gospel, the 10th chapter, verses 26 through 31. So have no fear of them, for nothing is covered up that will not be uncovered, and nothing secret that will not become known. What I say to you in the dark, tell in the light, and what you hear whispered, proclaim from the housetops. Do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father. And even the hairs of your head are all counted. So do not be afraid. You are of more value than many sparrows. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
In the book of Hebrews, Abraham is lifted up as this great paragon of faith. He is the example of faith. And yet we read a story like we do today, and we have to begin to wonder about this Abraham. He really is very human. So he has his glory moments, but he also has his weak moments as well. And as we read this story today, we might not reflect quite so well on Abraham, nor does it reflect quite so well on his wife Sarah, who also has been lifted up as an example of faith. Earlier in Genesis, Abraham is the one that was said, asked by God, pick up your family, all your stuff, and move to a place I'll show you. Abraham did. Well, there were many things that happened after that point, but one of the star moments was when God said, you're going to be the father of many generations, as plentiful as the stars in the heaven. And still Abraham and Sarah were childless, year after year after year. They finally had this miracle child, quite amazingly had this miracle child, when Abraham was, I believe, near 100 years old, and Sarah was likely in her 90s. How would you like to have children then? So anyway, here they're having this miracle child rather late in life. But when Sarah found out she was supposed to have a child, she laughed. I think I would have too. And when the child was actually born, Abraham named him Isaac, which means laughter. And now in today's text, this child, Isaac, has been weaned. It's not an age when there are these handy things called bottles. There aren't breast pumps. This is a time when mothers would have to have separated themselves from a very close relationship with this child. It would have been a turning point in her life. Just verses before where we just picked up today in this Genesis passage, Sarah is saying, who would ever have said to Abraham that Sarah would nurse children? Yet I have borne him a son in his old age. She's ready to praise God for this amazing, amazing thing. And then the child grew and was weaned, and Abraham made a great feast. But Sarah saw the son of Hagar the Egyptian, whom she had borne to Abraham, playing with her son. Something broke in her at that moment. This son, Ishmael, who was born to Hagar, if you'll remember, the story was actually born because Sarah said, well, since I can't have a child, why don't you take Hagar and see if she'll have a child for you? But now that she has her own son, she sees Ishmael as a threat to his future, and she wants to get rid of him. She's no longer thankful to God for this miracle child. She's suddenly taking hold and saying, I'm going to protect my son no matter what. No more thankfulness to God, but this mother bear instinct has taken over, and she's going to protect her son Isaac and his future. And she does it by saying to Abraham, get rid of her. And Abraham, this admirable man, says, okay. But he doesn't do so lightly. God says, go ahead and do it. And he sends her off with some bread and a skin of water. I think it's a very troublesome story, because we're wondering about Abraham and what kind of person he really is. But we also have to wonder about God, who would say to Abraham, well, yeah, send this woman and this baby out into the wilderness with a little water and a little bread. So we scratch our heads and we read it and we start to think about it. And we have to kind of look outside of the text and do a little imagining here. We have two women living in the same household, two sons by different women to one man. You think Presbyterians fight? Can you imagine what that household would have been like? It would have been a no-win situation for Abraham. And God says, okay, there's one way we can resolve this. I'm in charge here, and we're going to let this woman go out into the wilderness. But God has a plan. God has a plan that Ishmael will also father nations. So Abraham's not going to just be this great-great-grandfather of all these people of Israel. He also becomes the great-great-grandfather of all of the people of the Arab nations as well. And to this day, among the people of Israel and the Arab nations, people will say, Abraham is the father of all of these people. God is in control. And in this situation that looks a little iffy and not too favorable to Sarah and Abraham, God has a plan that is a master plan that overrides all of the doubts and fears that people might have. And what is happening here is a very, very human thing. Sarah is seeing Ishmael, it says playing is the literal translation, but it's the verbal word of the verb form, you know, the action form of the word, of laughter. So it could be that Ishmael is sitting there laughing with Isaac. So it could be that they might form quite a nice tight union here. Maybe that scares Sarah. But it also might be that she thinks he's laughing at Isaac. Nevertheless, what's happening is this shift, change is approaching. Isaac is going to sort of leave the nest. She's not going to have this nice, close, tight-knit relationship with Isaac anymore. She's not going to be able to control his waking, his eating, his sleeping like she used to. And how many of us have had to let little children go and grow up and make their own mistakes, fall down on their own when they're first learning to walk, and then pick them up and brush them off, let them ride those bicycles, scrape their knees, their elbows, and maybe even get some cuts and gashes. So Sarah is at that point where there's going to be major change. She has to let go of Isaac. And she wants to protect him and his future. So she's going to take control and try to guarantee his future is what she wants it and hopes it is going to be. But what happens is so very human. When we are faced with change, lots of times what we want to do is control things even more. And the tighter we try to control it and hold on, the worse it gets. All too recently, I moved. Like, I'm still in the process. So before I moved, I had to keep everything in precisely the same place it had been all along for the last 4 years. Nothing was going to move before I had to move it. And then the movers came. And nothing has been the same since. But it was a very human nature part of me, and still is. I'm struggling against it. I want to control the way things are, but I can't. I can't do it. And there's a part of me that knows deep down that the reason I bought this house and I made this move is because it is what God intends for me to do. And I have to trust in that. And no matter how uncomfortable I am, no matter how miserable I am to not be in control, I have to trust God that it all will work out. When I've lost jobs and been on unemployment, which was an unpleasant place to be, right? You've been there too, a lot of you. There is that sense that God is a God of purpose and that God will lead us to some place even better than where we were. That God has that master plan. And so we have Sarah trying to control things. Then we have Hagar who goes out into the wilderness like she's supposed to. She's not happy about it. She doesn't want to watch her son die. She puts him over there under a bush. But I sense that Hagar's attitude is a little more like the psalmist in Psalm 86. Who says things such as, I am poor and needy. Preserve my life, for I'm devoted to you. You are my God. Be gracious to me, O Lord. And she says things such as, there is none like you among the gods, O Lord. Nor are there any works like yours. All the nations you have made shall come and bow down before you. All the nations will bow before this one God. And so Hagar shows us the trust. Sarah shows us the clinging and wanting to control things. Congregations go through these shifts. You lose pastors. Nobody's ready for a pastor to resign and move on and go somewhere else. So we're faced with this time called transition. And too often there is this desire to make everything stay the same. There is this desire that the next pastor will be just like the last one and things can continue the same. And yet, if we do not let go and trust God, God cannot intervene, shake us up, and show us all the possibilities of what God intends for us. We have to go into the wilderness like Hagar, depend upon those meager provisions, the uncertainty of whether we will survive or not, and turn to God, the one God who is so amazing, all nations will bow down to God. And trust this God to take out of even the most mixed up, chaotic situation and turn it in to something that is totally amazing and wonderful and new and totally beyond all of our expectations. But because this one true, amazing God is the one who is in charge, we can trust that it truly will be the best thing possible for us. And all will be well. And all will be well. Let us pray. Oh God, help us to let go and let you be God and do your work. Help us to not try to do your job, but to trust in you to do yours. We pray that you will guide this congregation, its PNC, into the future that you plan for us, no matter how amazingly different it might be. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Let us stand and affirm our faith together as we use the words from the Confession of 1967. God's sovereign love is a mystery beyond the reach of the human mind. Human thought ascribes to God superlatives of power, wisdom, and goodness. But God reveals divine love in Jesus Christ by showing power in the form of a servant, wisdom in the folly of the cross, and goodness in receiving sinful men and women. The power of God's love in Christ to transform the world discloses that the Redeemer is the Lord and Creator who made all things to serve the purpose of God's love. Thank you. You may be seated.
I would like to now call forward new members Pamela Donor, Milton Liu, Janet Cago, and Steve Maturi. You have been examined and received by the session into the membership of the church. You are here to declare your faith and to be joined with this congregation in the service of Jesus Christ.
Steve, Janet, Pamela, and Milton, Jesus Christ has chosen you and in baptism has joined you to himself as a member of the one holy, universal, and apostolic church coming from many directions. You do not come to us as strangers, but as brothers and sisters in Christ. Now he has brought you to this time and this place so that you may confess his name before these our other sisters and brothers to serve as faithful disciples.
Please show your intention to unite with this church by answering the following questions. Who is your Lord and Savior?
Do you trust in him?
Do you intend to be his disciples, to obey his word, and to show his love?
Do you promise to be a faithful member of this congregation, giving of yourself in every way? You know what that means around here. And so fulfill your calling as a disciple of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior.
And do we, the members of this church, promise to welcome and involve these new members, share our faith and ministry together so that we may grow as disciples of our Lord Jesus Christ?
We do.
Let us pray. Gracious and ever-loving God, we praise you for calling us to be a servant people and for gathering us into the body of Christ. We thank you for the gifts that you have brought to this congregation through those who have reaffirmed their faith this morning. May we live and love in your spirit today. Together, may we live in your spirit and so love one another that we may have the mind of Jesus Christ our Lord, to whom we give honor and glory both now and for all time. Amen.
Amen. This is a joyous day for us. You are disciples of Jesus Christ and have been for many years. Live in his love and serve him. Let the message of Christ dwell richly within you, and whatever you do, in word or in deed, do everything in the name of Jesus, giving thanks to God through him. Welcome to this ministry of Jesus Christ through this church. We are so thrilled to have you. We are indeed a people who have been richly blessed in many ways. In many ways through the life and the ministry and the gifts of this congregation that far surpass our monetary donations. And yet Christ calls us to share all that we have with him. Let us come joyfully offering our gifts to God this day. forth your blessing, O God, upon these gifts offered in service to you, that they might show forth your kingdom near and far. And may you bless the gifts of those who have given them this day and our lives, that we might fulfill your will and your purpose alone. In Jesus we pray. Amen.